Welcome, everybody. It has been a while. We're so excited to launch a new podcast season with State of the Thunder, a recurring bi-weekly open conversation with core developers and community members. State of the Thunder focuses primarily on desktop and mobile development, but it also touches topics like product and business direction, open protocols, and the role of Thunderbird in the wider open source ecosystem. In each episode, we also dedicate time to answer questions from the team and the wider community of contributors and supporters. Make sure to follow us on our social media or go to thunderbird.net/participate to learn more. Enjoy. We can start. Good attendance. Thank you, everybody, for joining. This is the first of hopefully many, many, many State of the Bird. This is going to be somewhat unstructured. I'm sure the more we do this, the better we're going to get at. But this is an open conversation about what we're currently doing. Primarily, we're going to focus this time on desktop, but in the future, we can talk about anything that we do inside the magical world of development that we have to deal with every day. We can talk about desktop, mobile, front-end, back-end, releases, whatever it is. We're going to expand it and we're going to evolve it as we go. I have a little bit of an agenda in which I want to showcase some of the top priorities that we currently have in the product roadmap. I hope the majority of you are aware of what we're doing with the roadmap in desktop, but if you are not, this is a good way to get exposed to it. Feel free to interrupt me whenever you want. You can ask all the questions that you want. I already saw there are a couple of questions in moderator. Really appreciate who wrote those. Thank you very much. We're going to go through those at the end of the quick overview. But yeah, let's get started. So I'm going to share my screen and show the product roadmap. Not going to interrupt. Feel free to interrupt. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's not wrong. No. Okay. I'm going to share the product roadmap. Hopefully, a lot of you have seen this document. Has been going around since end of October last year, November. This is the product roadmap for 2025/2026. We're very optimistic that we can do this in the 2025. But before we go into the very specific objective of our roadmap this year, we want to align on what we want to do, like what are the reasons why we chose those specific features, how those objectives and features and bug fixes and improvements and changes affect our user retentions, our user adoption. Does it make sense all they're doing? So we needed to create a common destination, a common North Star, if we want to call it that way. In general, what we identified at our current destination, this is not fixed forever in time. It's something that can change depending on the market, depending on the competitors, depending on whatever happens in the world. Our current destination, we want Thunderbird to be a fast and multi-platform email and calendar application. Primarily, we wanted to focus on email and calendar. We have a million other things, but the aspects that primarily drive users to try Thunderbird are email and calendar. We need to make those extremely powerful, but also allow the users to customize their experience the way they want. We wanted to try to become a strong cult. Cult is a little bit of a strong word. It's like has a negative connotation. But in our case, we want to try to become like a positive cult, something that our users are passionate about our product, are passionate about MZLA, are passionate about Mozilla and what we do and what we represent, and they advocate for us. And we don't need to block them or lock them into an evil ecosystem. Ryan?
To that point, and you guys, some of you caught this in the AMA, but, you know, we're not just attracting them as customers. We're also attracting them as participants in the co-creation of what we're of what we build. I just want to call that out because I think that's a good reminder that that's our superpower, is that anyone can come and participate in a real meaningful way in the creation of the products in the activity of our projects. So that's my thing is, you know, it's not just as a customer or a user, it's also as our peers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I really don't like the word customers. I haven't found a good alternative. If you have any suggestion, please give
it. Yeah, users always sounds bad too.
Yeah.
You know, like a drug user, you know, or something. Oh, God. No, I mean, like, seriously, I think it's a bad term.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we should think about that, noodle on that a little, but yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we try to originally identify what are the user groups or what are the, if we want to create some personas and try to identify who are the categories of users that we want to cater to, we identify these primary groups here. Like, we know that our products is currently used by tech and open source enthusiasts and professionals. A lot of privacy focused users are driven towards Thunderbird. Some small and medium businesses, we have confirmation for the conferences from the bug reports that we have from our community members that they say, I manage an enterprise of 50 users, 60 users, and things like that. They decide to use Thunderbird. Educational institutions and government agencies, we know we have some schools or government agencies, especially in Europe, in the public sector, that they use Thunderbird to deploy. So we did this organization here because it's important to know who are you talking to and who are you catering towards. Of course, if we had all the resources in the world, we would just say all the users. We're going to just target all the users, all the usability approaches, all the, sorry, not usability, all the user cases. We would cater for every one of them, but we need to be methodical. We need to be a little bit of a surgeon type of approach here because we don't have infinite resources and we need to dedicate specific time to specific groups and see how we can make their life better, increase user retention, and then move on to another group or expand our reach in that sort. And this is very important to me. This is the general attitude and values that dictate the work that we do. Of course, we are in a situation in the world where tech companies don't really care about user feedback. They just do as much as possible to trap the user, not with convenience, but with annoyance. And then they mine their data and they just look at the bottom line. Like, users are actual just data buckets where they can make money. These are important to us by retaining user with convenience, honesty, and kindness, doing fewer projects per year, but doing them better, and focus on accepting new ideas, but save them in the bucket for later prioritization. These three aspects are what drives our decisions. And sometimes this is something that Ryan highlights very often. We sometimes need to take the difficult road, even if it goes against directly an easy win. For example, telemetry. We love telemetry because it helps us have educated decision, like make educated assumptions and validate our assumptions. And it's easier to evaluate if a feature is viable if you have proper telemetry data. But we know that telemetry can be exploited. Users can be fingerprinted. It doesn't matter how anonymous a telemetry probe is. There's always the possibility to fingerprint it, especially there's IP in transition. There are a million different things. And the general attitude and the general perception of the users for telemetry is negative, obviously, because they've been exposed to all the other mega corporations that don't care about them. So we go directly against our own benefit we accept the fact that all our telemetry can be disabled, all our donations can be disabled, our in-app notifications through enterprise policy can be disabled. All these things, they go directly against our ability to know and service better our user, our ability to make more money, quote unquote, and be more efficient. But it's the right thing to do. It's honest, it's kind, it's convenient for the users, and we're able to take the hit. We accept that we're going to take the hit. Yeah, these are the base of our what we believe, and we need to remain true to these core aspects of who we are. Our product goal in general, these are general direction that we wanted to use as a base to when deciding which features to work on. Of course, we are a native application, but what does it mean being a native application? Right now, a native application for us is just you can run it on Linux, macOS, and Windows. But we're not really native. We're not fully integrated with your native notifications, your native do not disturb, your native we don't fully respect sometimes all your customization of your operating system, the font size, the density changes, the high contrast mode. We worked a lot in the past year and also this year continue to actually make it look as native as possible and respect the operating system human interface guideline. Same thing, we need to ship high quality user interface and UX changes, because unfortunately, for how much we like to think that Thunderbird is this incredibly highly customizable productivity tool that you can change and make whatever you want with it, and it doesn't matter the interface, you can change it the way you want. The general population really just open an application and wants us to use it that way. We need to offer good, high quality, sensible default, but still, the other point, maintain extremely customizable. We don't want to alienate our current user. We want to be better than the competition. We don't want to just offer a thing and say, this is the way you use it. That's it. Shut up. You don't change it. We can, by using sensible choices, offer the users the ability to customize and make it personal, making their own. We want to try to surpass our competitors in terms of stability and convenience. Right now, we're kind of failing at that, especially like when it comes to stability. But our competitors are doing the hardest part for us. They are so obsessed with collecting user data and adding probes and shoving AI left and right in everything, even when it's not really convenient and it's not really ready, that they are affecting their own product. We are approaching with a more sensible point of view, and we're trying to improve stability. We're exploring different ways, and we're doing through add-ons, and we will always try to make our product better, because we're not bound to stakeholders telling us, I want $300 million, which is by like selling user data and stuff like that. And as well, the other aspect that we always need to consider is powerful API for extensibility. Our add-ons community is one of our stronger supporters, stronger advocate. Too often we ended up building sections that, or new features that we were very proud of, but there was no way for an add-on to interact with it or change it or extend it. Or make it slightly different, and the add-ons community needed to use web experiments, and we really don't want to do web experiments because they give them complete control on the user interface. They could do something absolutely terrible. We want to guide them and offer them like powerful API that can extend all these things. Any questions so far? Yes, Ryan, go ahead.
I'm back. All right. We shouldn't also over-index into, or we shouldn't overstate how good competitor stability is, or understate how good our stability is, mm-hmm. because the new Outlook, for instance, has had a ton of crashes and other, you know, serious issues since they rolled it out. So we may have stability issues, but it's not like we're alone in that boat, or that our product stands out as innately unstable. We do have issues that we have to address, but overall, I think most people aren't saying that their email is getting wiped out every day.
Yeah. No, that's what I said. Like that's why I mentioned like our competitors are doing that for us. Like they are destroying their own products because they're making it worse for one reason or another. They decided to go that route. So it's good. Yes. We're increasing our stability and we're increasing our speed and reliability of our product, and our competitors are making it easier for us to be a good alternative. A couple of don'ts in terms of our product goal. This is a tough one. I've been debating a lot with a lot of people, with Ryan constantly, that do we want to be a generalist app? Currently, Thunderbird has, yes, email, calendar, address book. That all makes sense. They're part of the things. But we also have chat. And then with add-ons, one of the most recent add-ons that we were discussing with Philip was like Bird Box, which adds the ability to add extra services into Thunderbird, like WhatsApp or Matrix or other things that I don't remember right now. We were debating a lot, like, does it make sense to integrate all of these things? Should we bring all these things into core? Should we cater at the same time to all these other things? And we wanted to do notes, and we wanted to do like built-in scheduling inside Thunderbird and all this stuff. Or should we focus on the core of the product, and then everything else can be explored with a separate service or an add-on or other things? This mostly comes from limited resources and the thing that we can offer and produce during a year and the level of quality, because of course we could work on a million different things all at once, but we will never finish a single one, or probably finish them and they're not that great. So it's tricky, because also our competitors are trying to be the all-in-one app. All the apps tend to try to do, now you can do payments inside Notion, or you're going to have like emails inside Notion for whatever reasons. But we're not going the route for now. In the future, it might change. We will get very big and very good. We can start making Thunderbird a more like widespread communication and productivity tool across all the aspects. But for now, we need to focus on the areas that really distinguish Thunderbird and drive users toward Thunderbird.
This might be a good spot for a brief discussion, if anybody has any thoughts, because yes,
please.
I think it's something that we haven't even like that. This is a discussion that I don't think we've had very broadly, not as a group. So curious to hear thoughts here.
So I'm sorry, Wayne, but for what it's worth, I'm on the side of making a really good app that's good at a few things but does it very well, as opposed to a generalist app that's just nobody even knows what it is anymore because it's got so many features and so many tools. I think it helps people get on board it faster and easier because they're looking for the specific thing and they can use it. Tools that are too general, they're just hard because there's so many different things going on, and they don't do anything, any one thing well. They just do a whole bunch of things. And so, and for as far as I think a mail client goes, personally, I think email and all the things that have to do with that are the most important. My two cents.
Thank you. Wayne? You're muted. I don't know if you know that you're muted.
Sorry. Yeah, I think to really get the most out of email, I think you have to go somewhat beyond it, is my first thought. The other is our history with add-ons is not really great. I mean, it's better in more recent years, but our history of supporting and retaining add-ons is not great. And the other aspect is, well, if we're going to, not cater, but bring in more small business and enterprise, they will inherently be wanting greater capability. So I don't really have a strong opinion as to whether we focus on email and find some other way to do those types of things. But I think those things are going to be important.
Yeah, Melissa?
Hi. So just kind of plus one-ing on those points of like, we should probably double down on the generalist app and also focus on like, I guess, add on like APIs and stuff to where other people can come in and kind of plug in their own thing if that's the missing feature and they want. We should be able to provide it, but not part of the core experience, you know?
Natalie?
Sorry, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I think that's what I was trying to say is I think Thunderbird itself as the core product should focus on those things that it does, like calendar, tasks, mail. But I do think that we should build out an ecosystem of products that can be standalone or part of Thunderbird or part of the whole suite that are well integrated together.
I've been on a journey with this because I was the pro bird boxer in core. And now I think some of that is because we haven't done a good job of highlighting add-ons that enhance the experience of using Thunderbird. I think if we did a better job of exposing people to the add-ons that fill in additional functionality, I think the pressure to do a lot of extra things would go down a great deal because we know that users were covered in the instances where they want to do more. What I think, and then I'll hand it over to Patrick, what I think is interesting to think about though is how I do think we should move into adjacent spaces that naturally fit into a person's kind of normal pattern of working with email, working with calendars, and then what are the things that are connected to that that also need to be a good integrated experience. I think we really need to think hard about that because there's a lot there. For instance, for me, it's tasks. I hate taking things out of Thunderbird to put it in a task manager. Like I really want a good integrated task manager. I'm sorry. The current one is close, but not there. But that to me seems like a natural fit. And there is a world where I feel like chat could be, but the chat story is incomplete, I think, at the moment. It needs to be thought through a few steps out. So I'll hand it over to Patrick.
Well, let me briefly introduce myself since some of you probably don't know who I am. I'm a longtime contributor to Thunderbird. Much to the confusion of many people when I talk to them, I've actually never been employed by Mozilla or MZLA. And I've been on the council for like close to a decade now, and mostly work inside the chat code, but have done various other stuff over the years. I have tended to advocate for seeing Thunderbird as a bit of a wider view than many others. I see it as a personal information manager, not as an email client, because frankly, if you view it as just an email client, why do we have calendar? Why do we have tasks? Why do we have contacts? I like to see it as a place to have all those things. And then in the modern, you know, business world and personal world for me, at least, that then very quickly expands out to other forms of communication like chat. And I'll leave it at that for the moment. As well as like tasks, as Ryan was saying, I agree with everything he said there. There's also, I think, a risk if you focus too much on email to lose certain demographics, especially younger people coming up who might not use these things as much. I've worked with interns and people starting out their careers who like don't know how to use email because they do everything over like Slack and things like that. So there is a risk there, but at the same time, if we're not providing value to those people and don't see a way to provide value, then we shouldn't do it. So I know I talked to a bunch of people at the offsite. Well, I was remote, but still, that like, should we move into like some of the microblogging things of Mastodon and Blue Sky? Maybe, but like, what value do we provide that isn't done by current apps? And that's a whole other thing that would be a multi-year roadmap item, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think we need to limit ourselves too much, but yeah, I'll stop talking now because I've already taken a lot of time.
Kelly?
Hi. most of the internal to MZLA folks know who I am, but folks who may be joining from the community or the council probably don't. My name is Kelly McSweeney, and I am the senior technical PM for the development team and help drive these roadmaps. The thing that I kind of wanted to bring to attention in this discussion about generalist versus specific is that I think we all wanted and want to provide a wholesale solution for our community. And the best way that we can do that is to define our priorities on that, focus on those priorities so that we can deliver them quickly and move on to the next priority and deliver quality solutions quickly. We can't do it all at once, though. We have a group of people and a great community that if we can get more structured participation from folks, we'll be able to absolutely advance how quickly we can get things done. But in what we're looking at today, we're looking at the desktop and roadmap specifically, which is why it's kind of focused on mail, calendar, a little bit of chat. But we also have these for our other product areas, and we are looking at it from a much more generalist perspective across all the product areas. So I just kind of wanted to call that out a little bit. Thanks.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah. I love every single thing that everybody said. This has been like the discussion for the past like probably 6 months, like back and forth and writing things down and analyzing things. So to give you a general overview, the things that we're doing, and John can speak to it, like most recently I had a lot of conversations with John about how we integrate add-ons API in all the things that we're rebuilding. Because yes, Thunderbird should be a productivity and communication tool. That's the future that we envision with Thunderbird. It's not just email. It's not just calendar. It's not just an address book. Thunderbird should really help you to communicate. And what does it mean communicate digitally? Does it mean chat? Does it mean activity pub? Does it mean voice over protocol? Like, what is all of this? And the general answer is yes, in the future, Thunderbird should be in every aspect of your digital communication, because we can help the user step away from the big evil corporation and offer better alternatives and blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, it all comes down, as usual, I keep repeating this, I wish in a not so far future we can forget about these terms, but a lack of resources. We need to be very methodical on where we focus on and what we offer to the user. And as Patrick said, what is the value that we offer to our users, and what is the level of quality that we offer in the things that we put inside our application? We need to make sure that what we expose to the user is at a high quality level of competitiveness that doesn't alienate user. It's much easier to get a user, hook it with something nice, and then offer slowly new improvements in future than trying to do everything all at once. You alienate the users because this is not that great, then you lost it. It's very difficult to regain a user that you lose. So it's an ongoing conversation, but definitely the future of Thunderbird is a broad digital communication tool that right now our approach is to, as much as possible, while we work on other things, allow users to extend with add-ons, functionalities, all the things that we are failing at. Failing is not the right word, but we're lacking so far. Ryan?
There are kind of two discussion points here, or two parts of this discussion that I think get lost when we talk about resources. And that's our when we talk about it, are we talking about an idea for product strategy or project strategy for Thunderbird? Or are we talking about the next year roadmap? You know, like, because I know hackles go up when people talk about chat and notes and et cetera, et cetera. But we probably shouldn't. Those making the product price shouldn't get our hackles up, because just because somebody raises that this is a natural space for Thunderbird to offer something in, doesn't mean we have to do it in the next year. It just means that we can have a discussion about whether or not in the, you know, in the idea of Thunderbird, whether or not that's a natural fit or not. And then, you know, the conversations can trickle on down. I would still like to facilitate, as a community, I think we should be facilitating conversations on whether or not inherently chat fits, whether or not inherently notes fits as part of like the Thunderbird experience. And I think we should be able to facilitate those discussions saying, let's just have a discussion about whether or not it fits as something that Thunderbird should do out of the box. And then we can figure out, you know, when that could happen, what that would look like. But, you know, I know that we've shut down conversations before because it's hard to fathom working on, you know, a brand new thing or rewriting all of chat or whatever. But I do think these are conversations we have to have.
Yeah, 100%. And these, I will be the first to admit that this is kind of my personal limitation. I am very much focused into like the development of the resources allocation of next month, in 3 months, 6 years. What do we want to deliver for this ESR? What we want to accomplish for this year? That whenever a new thing comes in, oh, we should do this or we should evaluate this. I'm like, no, we don't have time. No, it's not. But it's wrong on my end. We should always have open conversation and help better define what is the direction of Thunderbird. Why are we doing this? What type of application we want Thunderbird to be in the next 5 years, 6 years? And this is conversations that we have to do now so we can make better decisions for tomorrow, because we know that we're all aligned on that type of direction.
And planning for success. You know, one something that the project has done poorly in the past is plan for success. Okay, you know, like, what if we're very lucky and we double our user base, we double the amount of revenue coming in? You know, what we want to have plans for how to continue to grow and improve the product and meet users where they need us to be. And so, you know, to your point, we've all done it. It's not you, Alex, but you know, we really should be thinking about like, and maybe have a couple of scenarios in our heads of, okay, if all things go really, really well, you know, we want to do X, Y, Z. And that doesn't mean we have to do it, but we should have some idea of what we're going to do if things continue to go well.
Kelly?
So realistically, what I see would be very helpful would be if we had a 1 year, a 2 year, and a 5 year plan with regularly targeted reviews to ask the hard questions of, is this really doing what we think it should do? Is there something that needs to take the place of this? And refine those roadmaps on a regular basis. And that will allow us to be proactive to our community, as well as to be reactive within our organization around our priorities. Mm-hmm. And I think both things are necessary to plan for success for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll give you the floor, Natalie, in a second. To add to that, 100% yes, Kelly. I will be the first one to say we need to share the alpha of all of these things. Like, even if it's unfinished, it's incomplete, we're still writing it. Let's write in it publicly, put it out there. Even if it's not done, place it out there and we can evolve it with time.
Daily isn't, you heard me say this over and over, daily isn't sacred.
Yeah.
Dip in daily. You know, let the people choose whether or not they actually need to be on daily, but daily should be like, you're here. You are opted into everything. Daily is not a place to expect that your experience is going to be stable. And I think that's where we fail, because this isn't your fault. This isn't anyone's fault, but I'm going to tell you what I have a problem with. I have to turn on prefs in daily, which I think is insane, to try out new features. It's daily. Like, that's where the pref should be on by default to get people actually started using it. Even if like the calendar right now, if anything is shipped in calendar, I should not be able to use the normal calendar in Thunderbird daily right now. That should be a broken ass calendar that doesn't work, so that you can track the progress of that feature.
Natalie?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna add, like, when I think about where, like, my, like, dream big things that I think about for Thunderbird, the other place where I kind of go for ideas in my head for features is when I think about the ecosystems of Google and Microsoft, and even especially if we're gonna have a mail service, where are for users that are trapped into those ecosystems and they want a privacy respecting open source solution alternative, what things would we have to get done first in order to provide that viable alternative to those users to come on board with us?
Nice. Yeah. Monica, yes.
There we go. That is a really good question. And I think that goes really well with something Danny brought up in chat, that when there are other open source projects and providers that are providing those solutions that people want, like, let's say, better integration with Nextcloud and what it does to make sure that we can integrate really well with those, especially kind of thinking about like organizations that are trying to like completely get away from big tech and not only use us, but, you know, use things like LibreOffice and use things like Nextcloud. And so, like, so to make sure that we don't duplicate effort maybe where we don't have to, and make sure that people can use those solutions in Thunderbird. And it's not like, well, to integrate with this, here's the 50 steps you have to go through. Because that's painful. So that was just my thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the objective. I think this is a good point to switch gears and jump on the questions that were written in moderator. We are 20 minutes away from the end of, unless anyone else has any other points about generalist app versus focus on specific things or... Oh, it's all good. Nice. All right. So in moderator, we got two questions. The first one, I wrote it because it is a question that I got from social media when I shared this with the community, and I get these questions pretty much once a week. Why aren't we working on JMAP? And instead, we're focusing and putting all the resources on a closed protocol like Exchange. This is a point of struggle that we have every time, and it's a balanced evaluation that we need to do. Yes, JMAP is going to happen, hopefully early next year and next year's roadmap. Unfortunately, the evaluation point was, what is the bigger impact in terms of user adoption that we could have inside the application? We always need to consider, whenever we work on a feature, what type of improvement brings to the company, to the sustainability of the product, to user adoption, user dimensions, and that how that translates to potential donations, making the product even more sustainable for the future. And we had to, unfortunately, accept the fact that Exchange is used. Of course, they don't release the data, but probably like billions of users. Everyone, every time you go into a workplace or you go to a university, here's an Exchange email, and it sticks with you forever for the rest of your life. And that's probably the number one thing that we always got every time we attended a conference or we were talking with our audience. When can I use Exchange in Thunderbird? When can I use Exchange there? When can you sync my Exchange or have my Office 365, all of that? So I agree, it's a shame. It's unfortunate that we are putting resources into a closed protocol. But the thing that we're doing, the way that I see it, and we see it hopefully, is we are helping users to step away from the closed ecosystem of Microsoft by offering them the ability to use their account with Thunderbird. And this is the gateway towards stepping away entirely. First, we allow them to use Thunderbird, then switching to another email provider gets much easier because the application is still the same, but also potentially opening the door to billions of users.
Actually have market data on this. We've gotten more sophisticated over time over here in Thunderbird land. So 700 million mailboxes for Exchange as of 2022. And that at the time was projected to reach 1 billion mailboxes for Exchange by 2026. And this year we're going to pull more market data again, and hopefully those numbers are updated and we can see whether it's matched that trend. But it's still I don't know what the human population is, but it's 1/6, 1/7, of the mailboxes are not necessarily one person per mailbox, but still, yeah. It's a lot of freaking Exchange accounts out there. So we're just trying to meet a demand. And I don't know if it came up that much in the survey that Natalie ran, but in user interviews, especially I ran a series of those, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. In each of those user interviews, people said that almost each one, not every single one, but many of them, they said that there was an account that they had that wasn't in Thunderbird, or that they had left Thunderbird because they couldn't have all their accounts in there. And when prompted, what is that account that you didn't bring to Thunderbird? It was always an Exchange account or an Office 365 account.
Another thing to consider, to drive JMAP adoption, most servers that support JMAP also support IMAP. So we essentially already have the feature set for that. And the drive to do JMAP is kind of that chicken egg problem of, how do we get more people on this so that more servers support it, so that eventually in, 10 years or so, a bunch of new standards emerge on top of JMAP that allow additional features. So, it is certainly a little bit of chicken egg that I think we should look at to some point. If you look at it on the mobile side, we've been considering let's look at Exchange and let's look at JMAP. I imagine due to the complexity of adding something else, it doesn't really matter which one we support, and we could probably head towards a future where, we refactor things so that we can support other protocols and once we do that, we could probably just do both in parallel and use that as a test bed to say, okay, does it actually work? And that would be a great feature to see.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Next question. Yeah, kind of a JPEG Excel situation. Yes.
It's all JPEG Excel all the way down.
Yeah. Next question in moderator is, it's from Roland. I'm the only staff member who loved MailDir. Used it for Gmail for 4 years to a Mocha to Element without bugs. I understand MailDir is out. I'd love for us to switch to SQLite for some such open format with thousands of third-party tools. Could we have an update on this, please? Yes, absolutely. So our global message database implementation is based on SQLite. You can actually access if you want.
Is it in Nightly? Can I do my SQLite in Nightly dance?
You can access actually our Thunderbird source docs, and there's a little section called Panorama.
Oh, I missed this totally.
This was Jeff's idea for a name. I think it makes sense because it's an unbroken view of an entire surrounding area, which is a good way of defining database. It's all based on SQLite. There's an initial documentation on how to hook it via JavaScript, via C++. There are the base core classes, the base core components. We have a live view that you can start consuming. This is test-driven development. So there are a lot of tests where you can see how the SQLite is populated and interacts with. We are aiming before the end of the year to have this and start hooking it up to our actual folder.
Is it prefed often Nightly then? Speaking of prefs.
It's not behind a pref right now. It's just there in a completely separate standalone folder because it's not interacting with live code.
Okay.
So it's a completely separate section that you can interact with and not worry about breaking things. But when all the basic things are done, we're going to hook it up via pref and start transitioning things into the new database. So yes, SQLite. A single SQLite database that has all the messages and all the folders instead of per folder.
Single. Database. Okay.
Gonna be amazing.
I'm not holding you to single or dates. But as a software developer since the age of 13 and not nearly as good as yourself, Alessandro, Philip, and all the great software developers here in this room, SQLite has changed my life. Simon Willison. Just like Ruby has changed my life and C. And so having that in Thunderbird or even Firefox, but Firefox, I don't think has done a great job. Sorry, Firefox, because I don't think, no disrespect, but it's now multiple databases opaque almost. So hopefully we can make ours more transparent because open data is part of our mission too, right? Like the way we use SQLite would be, I'd love it for it to be much more transparent than it is used in, based on my unencumbered by knowledge, how it's used in Firefox. I'm sure Firefox has documented it, but yeah. There's a very straightforward way to use SQLite, and then there's a non-straightforward way, and to have like 20 databases. Not saying Firefox uses 20 databases.
No, we're trying. The objective here is simplicity. Jeff shared multiple documentation on his approach on TB planning, on the architecture and the basic and initial things. They're all there. I can link things later on in TB team if you want.
Nope, that's great. I'll talk to Jeff. Yeah. And contributors could help here too, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, of course. It's all open source. That's the beauty of that. Yeah, the general objective is to have a single database file. Everything is stored there. We can do also database migration. So if something goes terribly wrong, we can actually roll back and create a backup or easily create a snapshot of when things are right and when things are wrong and go backward and forward. Hopefully the objective is to forever and ever solve folder corruptions and data loss and you can now reorder your folders, move multiple messages all at once, and the operations of moving a message and undoing should be instantaneous. Like, that's the general objective, truly making the basic architecture of Thunderbird sustainable, scalable, and fast for the next 20 years.
Right.
And hopefully users will not see the difference and will not see any negative impact, but only, hey, Thunderbird suddenly is much faster.
Yeah, and as a support, as your support person, Mbox and MSF, as Wayne knows, and compact folders are the bane of our existence.
Yes.
And one of the reasons people leave.
Yeah. Ryan, yes.
Thank you.
No, I've become the timekeeper for everything. Knowing Thank that you. We're running, we only have 9 minutes left. I first have a question, and then I have a suggestion. Question. Are we sharing this publicly? Are we going to post it somewhere?
Yeah, I hope so. This is recorded on Airmo. I would like to export it, edit it a little bit, and then push it to YouTube, maybe. Okay. Or yeah,
everywhere. I agree. I think that's great. Thank you. And then my suggestion is, since we don't have that much time left, maybe we could do call outs, community call outs, or if there's really something neat that someone in here has done, that would be good too. But I think that could be fun and encourage folks to come and participate.
Yes. I don't know if he likes to have his name shared, so I'm going to just use his nickname, Welpy. I want to call him out because he's been an absolute machine, fixing a million different things. He just created a patch that I think Magnus just reviewed to strengthen the Mbox parsing there for the folder database. But it has been an absolute gem of fixing RSS feed, improving about 3-pane selection states. And it really warms my heart because all the work that we did last year to remove the Zool tree and make everything extremely documented and easier to update, it's paying off. He is one of the many examples of people jumping in and be able to read our code and quickly do the fixes. So shout out to him for his incredible contribution. He fixed a lot of great things.
That's great. Yeah, Welpy is like in my inbox all the time because I get all the Fabricator stuff and his name is constantly attached to patches in there. I want to call one out. I'll have to pull up the issue real quick, the pull request. So Thunderbird for Android has a pull request for support for subfolders in the UI from Clem Riviere, and that is an amazing community contribution that will allow for nested folders. Is that the right way to describe it in the interface? So you'll be able to have, right now it's just all flat, all the folders regardless of where they sit in the structure is flat. And so there's still some UX stuff to solve that's been called out in the pull request, but that's going to be a major win. So awesome.
The really cool thing about this is that design had been exploring exactly that. And, this guy came out of nowhere and said, hey, I have an idea, and it was exactly that. So it kind of just fit in perfectly to what we were looking to do, and really appreciate that. Yeah, there's so many more people in Thunderbird for Android. A lot of folks have come, so I can't possibly name them all. Another person I'd like to call out is Shamim, who's been really sticking with us and having many, many contributions and learning a lot on the way. So I really appreciate all the Thunderbird for Android folks that have been coming in.
Yeah. I will love later on, even like in the next couple of weeks, once we do in the next session, to open it up to our add-ons and contributors community to join this call and be able to participate. I'm a bit wary of like sharing this into all our social platforms, just sharing the link, because we had in the past some trolls coming in and destroying everything, and but if we figure out moderation, I would like to just put this link out there for everybody to join so we can actually thank the people that contribute to us directly. But yeah, this is great. This is the beauty of open source. I love this so much. Makes me feel good. That's the thing. Maybe we can conclude with this little note. It's very difficult. Like what we're doing is it's very tough. Wayne?
Yeah, I was just going to say another longtime contributor, but still a heavy contributor in the past years. Gene, he goes by GDS, many IMAP patches, and also giving advice to users and other developers on the issues that involve IMAP.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And anyone else before I conclude this meeting? All good. Nice. All right, cool. So I'll take it home by simply saying, yes, what we do is very difficult. Sometimes it's extremely frustrating because things don't go our way and coding is hard and we are fighting against giants. Sometimes it's bleak. The word is bleak out there, but I feel proud and happy to be able to work for a company with people that in the morning I wake up and I'm excited to work and excited to be here. And I'm not ashamed of what I do. And I'm proud of saying I work for this company and this is the product that we're doing. Yes, it's a product, but we're actually trying to truly make the world better through emails and calendar. It sounds silly, but it's really not. It's not that granted to be able to feel satisfied, feel happy, and feel energized about the work, no matter how difficult it is. And it's beautiful to see all the brilliant minds that we're able to attract with the things that we do. So yeah, open source is a superpower and we need to embrace it a lot more. So thank you, everybody. You're all great. And we're doing great.